Good morning to each one. I too greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. And it's a blessing to be gathered in the house of God again and to be here on the first Sunday of the year. Just a few things before I get started. Bear with my voice here this morning. Last couple days, I'm not sure what happened, got a cold in my voice, and I messaged Brother Cliff yesterday, and I said, I think I can come as long as it doesn't get any worse, and I think it'll hopefully hold up while I preach here this morning, but I apologize the way it sounds a little bit. But it is good to be here, and I look back in my, so I was looking back through sermons that I had preached here at Loyola. I discovered one thing, which is kind of interesting, that the schedule has had me here the first Sunday of the year for the last 4 years. And so if any of you have a sharp memory, I hope I don't overlap too much, because I do enjoy speaking on current, you know, holidays or current things. So I think that is important, because that's, you know, what we are facing as we go through life. And so I do like to kind of have a message that's tailored towards the new year. So bear with me if you think there's some repeat here. I tried to go down a little different avenue. I look back and trusting that I'm not going to overlap too much. But it was kind of an interesting thing. Something in my mind said that I think I preach at Loyola the first Sunday of the year pretty often. And I look back and it's been the last 4 years. So anyway, it's good to be here. And the title of my message this morning is A Crown of Goodness. And you can turn in your Bibles a while to Psalm 65. It's where I want to pull my inspirations and thoughts from here this morning. Psalms 65. This is a psalm or a song written by David. He was a musician, and he penned many of these songs. We don't know always if he was penning them while he was watching sheep, or if he was penning them on the battlefield or after battle. Some of them we know they were songs of victory. This one here was a psalm of praise in many ways. I want to read Psalm 65, and why don't you just all stand with me? And since my voice isn't real great, let's try to all read it together, and I'll lead out in reading it here. So Psalm 65, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall a flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of the whole holy temple. But terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off unto thee.
Which by his strength setteth
vast mountains, being with power, which stirreth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the utmost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly, thou settlest furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers, thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths are peace. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the Lord rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered with wool. They shout for joy.
You all may be seated. Thank you. If you want to take a look there at verses 9 to 13,
And sometimes reading it in a different version can help us just a little bit get a little more of a context of what David is saying here. Reading from the Amplified in 9, verse 9 there, "You visit the earth and saturate it with water. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide them with grain when you have so prepared the earth. You water the fields, furrows abundantly and settle the ridges of it. You make the soil soft with showers, blessing the sprouting of its vegetation. You crown the year with your bounty and goodness, and the tracks of your chariot wheels drip with fatness. The pastures in the uncultivated country drip with moisture, and the hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered with grain. Thou shoutest for joy and sing together." Brother Sherwin had just talked about the many needs that are around us, and it's very true. On the other hand, we look at our right around us, and we think that in many ways life is good, and we have much to be thankful for, just as David did. He was being thankful for all the things that he had, the abundance that were around him. It's said that Psalm 65 here begins a group of four psalms, which are hymns of thanksgiving. In contrast to the ones that came before that, the preceding psalms were lamentations. So something changes. There was a shift in David's, or in the psalms, if they're in the book here in chronological order, there was a change. It begins in a style of prayer, and it transitions into a description of God and concludes with the praise to God. And the Jerusalem Bible suggests it is set after a good year with plentiful rain. And if you go back to verse 11, there is where my title comes from, a crown of goodness. Or in the other version here, the crown of the year with you crown the year with bounty and goodness, and the tracks drip with fatness. And you may wonder what does that mean? The paths drop with fatness. So if you can picture with me in the time of David in Israel, there it was very much of a agricultural community, and so they were raising crops. They were driving their oxen, pulling their carts as they were moving it was harvest season, and as they were moving their grain and their harvest, their vegetables, whatever it was, in from the fields. The picture is that the harvest was so lavish that it was falling off the edge of the carts, and they were filling them full, and they were hauling it into the grain bins or whatever, and it was falling off the edge, and that it was actually dropping along the paths as they were heading in back in from the fields. The paths drop with fatness, and express this as the paths well worn by the harvest carts overflowing with grain. And that was the crown of the year. It was God's glory on that year. They viewed it as God's blessing to them. Psalm 65 is also considered a psalm of praise and thanks to God for his goodness. It was apparently sung after the spring rains came into water and refreshed the earth. The song was even more meaningful if the nation had been through a particularly bad dry season. Now we know that, again, in Israel, that the ground is very fertile, but it's also surrounded by a good bit of dry country, and so they rely heavily on the rains, just like we do here, but maybe even more so, that if the rains came, things grew well. But if the rains did not come, they did not have as near of good of harvest. And so they relied heavily on that. So I want us to think, as we take some of these parallels, these thoughts, and we want to think about our year. As we cross the threshold, we've already done that, into this new year, maybe some of you stop and like to sit back and reflect what you've all been through in the past 12 months. I think that can be a good thing to do. Some things that just happened 12 months ago seem like a pretty long time ago, and there's other things that I was like, wow, that was the whole way back, January, February of 24, and we're already moving into January of 25. But it's good to sit back and reflect and look, what have we done? Where was I a year ago? Where was my family a year ago? What have we come through? It can maybe make you sad. It can maybe make you happy. Some of you may have testimonies of good times. Others will remember the last 12 months as being a challenge. Maybe some will remember the last year as a year they dealt with health issues. Or maybe some of you have lost loved ones over the last 12 months. And it can really change your picture of what the last year was. Sometimes we don't enjoy maybe looking back as much, but we want to just look forward. We think, well, we'll get better. We're hoping this year ahead is better. And that's where there's a lot of optimism. People want to be better. They want to do better. That's where the resolutions come in. And they think that somehow starting in the beginning of January, it's going to change. And they can change who they are. And many come up disappointed, as was already mentioned here this morning. Some of you may say, it's been my best year ever. Last year's been a really good year. And some of you may say, I wish there was things I could have changed. I wish I could go back and do it different. Well, the truth is we cannot go back and do it different, but we can choose to make choices differently going forward. I brought just a small object along here this morning. Hopefully help remind us. So I have a calendar. The one hanging on our wall is Kirkwood Mennonite Church. I'm sure you have one here at Loyola as well. So this is 2025. This is a new year. There's 12 months in here, 365 days, and we have the new year. And each of you have that. You have a calendar at home. You have a calendar on your phone. And even if you don't have that and don't look at it, the days are still going to go one day at a time. And we can choose. Are we going to look at it as David did in verse 11? Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. I want to focus just a little bit, too, on a crown. So here we have a crown. As David said, he crowneth the year. I'm going to put it there on the calendar. What does the Bible have to say about these crowns? Or what does David mean when he's saying he's crowning the year? Verses 1 through 2 here in Psalm 65 is a commitment to praise God. God's favor is upon the new year. No matter how the year may look, we are going to praise God. That's what David said, and I think we should follow his example as well. No matter what comes in the days ahead, we still praise him. Let us look at the words here in Psalm 65, 11, which I said there, that he crowning the year. And I want to share a couple thoughts, a couple points here about God placing a crown of favor on this year. So we know that this crown, or a crown, is a special glittering insignia worn by kings, queens, empires, and other royalty. It also, in those days, was something that was at sporting events in biblical times. It was a crown. They would crown the winner. It would be a recognition of who won. It was the recognition of royalty. In our present day, we not quite as familiar with crowns. Still, the royal family would still somewhat do crowns. Maybe beauty contests, they would crown a winner, something like that. But we all know that sort of what a crown represented in different societies, different times. And we also know that if a person, such as a king or a winner, if they wore that crown, that very often or at some point in time, that crown would is only for a season. It eventually would disappear. Either the person would die or there'd be a new winner next year or the next game, whatever it may be. So it was only for a period of time. The Bible identifies God's people as royal priesthood, crowned by God himself. So God crowns this year. He's choosing to do that for us. His grace and favor will crown every day we face in the coming year with its challenges. He will put his blessing on every day. Maybe we don't always see it as we should. Maybe some days are disappointing to us, but let's not forget that his blessing and favor are there. I want to look at a couple crowns in the Bible. That first of all is the crown of righteousness. And you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 4:8 it says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to them also that love his appearing." Paul uses the metaphor of the wreath given to the winners at the popular races held in Greece. And again, those crowns were for a season. We know how fast they faded, they disappeared. But a crown of righteousness will last forever. We know that God's righteousness will be on this year ahead of us. Even sometimes we may not always think that it seems he's working righteously, but we need to trust that he is. Another crown is a crown of life in James 1:12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." God's eternal reward to those who's overcome the trials of life. So maybe we don't always see, or we don't always feel like it's good today. We can't always see the Lord's blessing today, but we need to remember that maybe he's taking us through these difficult times, or he's taking us through this year to give us a crown of life, something in the future. And even if it's not good now, we can rest assured that he will give us a crown of life if we are faithful. Also, the Bible also mentions another crown, a crown of beauty. And this is in Isaiah 61:3, reading from another version that states it just a little bit better. "And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So a crown of beauty, the Hebrew word here refers to turban or a head dressing. It was something that they were to exchange. If God was with them, they didn't have to be mourning. They didn't have to be in despair. They did not have to be in ashes or rubble. Instead, they could exchange that for this crown of beauty. They could exchange it for joy, and they could rise above it because God was with them. Same way applies for us in 2024. We can exchange whatever hardship we may face for a crown of beauty. Also, there is an eternal crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Everyone who competes in these games, I think Paul was writing about that here, is striving, or they go through this strict training and they put themselves through a lot and they try, they want to win. They do it to get a crown that will not last. As I said before, it's only maybe for 1 year until the next game rolls around, and then they're crowned a new winner. And same way continues in the games of today. You're only a winner for this period of time. It's short term. We can strive. We can put ourselves through training and forgo things, and we get something that's eternal. We do not have it now, but we eventually will have this eternal crown if we strive to win in our spiritual life. It's not something that will go away. Also, there is a crown of glory that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 5:4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And this is a crown for a reward for a job well done. And again, it cannot be taken away by others. It cannot be one-upped by the next person who can do it better or faster. We shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And this, again, is probably talking about a futuristic thing. But again, it comes back to the thought of being faithful. Faithful in every day, faithful in all of 2025, and have that crown of glory. There is also, the Bible speaks of a crown of joy. Isaiah 51:11, those the Lord hath rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Again, a different version, but it says it there of a crown. The everlasting joy will crown their heads. A crown of joy. They will enter Zion with singing. They will be an everlasting joy that will crown their heads. The same should be noted of us as Christians today, that we should be a joyful people, glad people. People should be able to see that we are happy serving the Lord, that we have a joy in our lives because we are serving the Lord. That's what David was talking about here in Psalms 65. He was rejoicing, and he was singing it out to God. The crown of favor, the crown of favor God gives is a bountiful harvest. Back here in Psalm 65, we think of what does that mean to us? Again, we talked about a couple different crowns, but this bountiful harvest, thy goodness, as we prepare to step into a new year, what a comfort it is to know that his goodness is upon us. Let's look at some of God's goodness shown in this psalm here. We can start in verse 2 there. He hears our prayers. That's a something that's God's goodness, that it doesn't matter if it was in 24 or if it's in 25, but it's the goodness that he shows on us is that he hears our prayers. He is gracious and listens to all we bring to him. No matter if it's a good day or a bad day in the year ahead, remember that the Lord is gracious and he's listening. If we but bring our needs, our wants, our joys, our sorrows to him. In verse 3, it says that he forgives our sins. He purges them away. He does away with them. We no longer have to rely on the Old Testament sacrificial system, but because of Jesus' death, he has done away with them. And it's something that we can rejoice in. It should bring us joy. It's his crown of favor upon us as Christians. He fills us with good things out of his house. And we find that there in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom God is near. He will give us good things. Now that may not always seem true to us. There may be times where we question that, because it may feel like we're not having good things, that he's not giving us abundantly. But we need to rest assured and trust that he will. And in many ways he does. There's not very often that Christians do not have blessings and do not have what they need. In many ways, he provides for them. Maybe through the brotherhood, maybe through other people, other Christians in other areas, helping out other Christians that can take care of their needs. In verse 5, he answers with, let me just go to that verse. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us. Now, that word terrible, we don't use that a lot, and it's maybe not meaning quite the same as we would think of something as terrible, but a little more of a modern word that we would use today would be awesome. So, by awesome things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. So the Lord will show himself strong through miracles and just the miracle of life, the miracle of the universe, the miracle of things around us if we look for him. He will show himself awesome. Keep your eyes open for that this year, and I think if we look for it, we can find it. In verses 5 through 7, in those verses, it talks about him protecting us. He gives order to the whole creation. He will give us protection. If you think you're able to control things on your own, just wait till you have a hurricane roll through or something else that that is out of order, and we realize how small we are in this world and how little we can do personally. But God is giving us protection. He's choosing what he will send to us. In verse 8 there, it mentions he does wonders, signs that God is at work among his people. He does wonders among us. Verses 9 through 13, he sends rain and makes the land give abundant blessings. And this was of great importance in the agricultural setting in the community in which this psalm was written, as I talked about before. But for the most part, we are definitely blessed. We are blessed with abundance. We're blessed with food to eat, houses to live in. Most of us are not going hungry this morning. God will surely take care of his children every year, as we are ready to prepare. Are you ready to prepare yourself for a bountiful harvest or a bountiful year ahead if you accept God's goodness in the new year? God's favor will be seen even in the hard places, even in the hard paths, overflowed with abundance. And I don't have what verse that was in there, but I think it talked about that even in there will be abundance. And Isaiah 42:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, he that createth the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he hath given breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep us, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring them out of the prisons from the prison, bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are passed away, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." So there we see that God's hand, he will hold thine hand and will keep thee. And then it talks about new things I declare, where there is new things to come. And even in those new things, there God will be there, and he will uphold us, or speak of holding our hand, or walking by us. And no matter if no doubt we will, some of us will face hard paths in the year to come. We do not know what is ahead. And it's good we don't, because we probably could not live with that knowledge. But even in the hard paths, overflow with abundance. If we go back and if we look for the good that God gives in our lives, and if we rely on him in that list of crowns that he bestows upon the year, if we go back to that and trust that he will bring us these good things. Approach the new year with the resolve to find the opportunities hid in each day. No matter what, if we look for the opportunities that are in each day, I trust that we can find them. We can be blessed by it. So in order for us to achieve spiritual success, do not forget to give God the first hour of the day, the first day of the week, the first part of every paycheck, the first consideration in every decision, and the first place in your heart. And if you do that, God will bless you. It'll be a great year if we can do that, no matter what comes. It's a great way to start the year ahead. I have a small poem here in closing. It's called The New Year's Prayer. Heavenly Father, for this coming year, just one request I bring. I do not pray for happiness or any earthly thing. I do not ask to understand the way you lead me, but this I ask, to teach me to do the thing that pleases you. I want to know your guiding voice, to walk with you each day. Heavenly Father, make me swift to hear and ready to obey. And thus the year I now begin, a happy year will be, if I am seeking just to do the things that pleases you. So I trust then, as the year ahead, that we may receive God's crown of goodness and a bountiful harvest in the new year, and you may see his abundant, overflowing goodness, even in the hard paths, even no matter what comes, and trust that we can look to God and realize that he is the giver of all good things. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.